So we're going to be in Romans chapter 6. Paul's words here goes like this. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all of this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led even deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. So, Christmas Eve, I talked for a little while about whether there's room for Jesus in our life. And we looked at the fact that Joseph and Mary showed up and there was no room at the inn. We need to make room for Jesus in our life, but the interesting thing is it's not about what we do, it's really about allowing God to do what he wants to do in our life. It's more about yielding than it is working hard. And the conversations I've had since Christmas Eve push me a little bit further in what I'm going to talk about over the next several weeks with you. Our overarching agenda is really God's agenda. What is God's agenda in this world? That's going to roll out into kingdom business, kingdom belonging, and kingdom belief. And we'll cover each of those over the next 3 weeks. Let's lay a really good foundation. Those of you that have been around, you've heard this before, but this will give you a little refresher course so that when you carry on conversations with people, you'll remember how easy it is to explain the good news of the gospel to someone you encounter. It starts here with what our vision is as a church. Our vision is that we're responding to the Great Commission. Well, the Great Commission's got two parts. One is that we're supposed to go and make disciples. We do that all over the world, and then we teach everybody everything that Jesus taught. That's discipleship. We're responding to the Great Commission by encouraging unchurched and de-churched people. We keep running in more and more to de-churched people. You went to church once a long time ago and you really didn't like it. You had a bad experience. We do first impression cards. I know what the biggest thing is that bothers people when they go to a church for the first time, and that is, has somebody welcomed them and greeted them? You're allowed to say what I like best, what I like least, and that least category is almost always about relational things. Well, no one greeted me, no one talked to me. Well, I understand that if that's your experience in church, you might not try it out for very long. So we're looking to attract those that are looking for God, that are leaning in, that are beginning to explore what spirituality is really all about. It's not about beads, bells, and smells. It's not about a certain chant. It's not about getting your body and your mind all in some certain position. People don't know that. But as they lean in, we want to usher them in. We want to ask them to join us as we become fully devoted followers of Christ. And simply, that means what we sang earlier. Less of us, more of God. God not only in our spirituality and what we do on Sunday morning and maybe Tuesday nights in our small group, but having him lead in every area and every aspect of our life. Now that vision reflects what I think God's agenda is in this world. Jesus said a lot of things. One of the great things that Jesus said is that The Son of Man has come to what? Seek and save the lost. Period. That's God's agenda in this world. That was Jesus' agenda in this world. He came to seek and to save. And so we're a part of that great movement of Christianity. It's about salvation. Now, that's not a word we use a lot because people don't understand it. But it's all about seeking and saving the lost. Jesus came, as we talked at Christmas time, he came to be the Savior of the world. So what is salvation? This isn't in your notes, but we can look at it together. This is kind of how we define it. Salvation is God's free gift to us. Thus, salvation is not a result of our self-improvement or our good works. Only by trusting in Jesus Christ and his forgiveness for sin's penalty can we be saved. Eternal life begins the moment one receives Jesus Christ into their life by faith. Around here, we talk about, so to speak, raising our hand and asking Jesus to lead our life. That is what God's kingdom agenda is really all about. Why? Why is that God's kingdom agenda? Why is it about salvation more than it is about really anything else? And the answer to that simply is, it's good news because it declares, well, we have a choice in this world. What does the Bible say? Romans 8:28. For the wages of sin is death, hell, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There are two choices to be made. You can either choose hell, and that's the path everybody's on. Or you can change or alter your eternal trajectory, and you can accept Jesus, and now you're going to heaven. Now, I know that that sounds simple, but it's not simplistic. There are only two eternal destinations, heaven and hell. Jesus knew that. All the apostles knew that. We know that. Why should our primary goal be to seek and save the lost? Because they're lost. They're lost. And I'm like you. I don't want that good person around me going to hell. And I think if we're not telling people the good news about heaven, we're telling them to go to hell. See, it rolls out this way. Humanity has a problem. Simply, we have a sin problem. And we don't really understand that sin, that fault, that imperfection, put whatever word to it you want to. We make bad choices, we have bad attitudes, we have wrong thinking. We even have emotions that get out of hand, our anger. We need to understand that God's holy. Exalt the Lord your God, for the Lord our God is holy. What does that mean? That means he's pure. It means that all the goodness that we could ever imagine exists in the nature and the character of God. And he's so awesome, and he's so good that, you know what? He really can't even be around sin. He has to create a separation because of that. Your God's eyes are too pure to look at evil. He cannot even tolerate it, tolerate wrong. Once we understand the nature of God in our human equation, we begin to understand that, okay, God is pure and God is holy, and we're not. And hopefully I don't have to encourage you too much that you're not perfect. Right? We're not perfect. In fact, the default of humanity is actually not goodness, it's sin. Yes, Adam's sin brings condemnation for everyone. For everyone. Adam takes us back to the Garden of Eden. It helps us understand that once we were in this relationship that we yearn for with God, with others, and with our environment. Those three things are very true about the Garden of Eden, isn't it? They were doing great with God, they were doing great with one another, and the earth was rolling along just fine. And then we decided, hey, let's be like God. Big mistake. Big mistake. And so we know the result is now we're put out of the Garden of Eden, and now we're here on earth. One day we'll go back to the Garden of Eden, but that's another message. We all know that by default, sin really rules our life. And we know that because we make bad choices. We have bad habits, bad attitudes, even bad thinking. All have sinned and fall short of God's glorious ideal. Would you agree? Yes. He's holy, we're not holy. That creates a separation between us and God. Isaiah's got it down. Because of our iniquities, and that's just a fancy word for sins and faults and failures. Because of our iniquity, it's created a separation between God and us. And that makes sense if we understand what holiness is all about. We understand that God is holy and pure, and we're not. Now, some of us would say, well, I'm only a little bad. But see, the holiness of God and our sinfulness, it's a little bit like having a pool and just putting one drop of poison in it. That poisons all the water, doesn't it? And here the Bible's not trying to fill in the details of the nuance. The Bible's trying to tell us the broad brush reality of humanity and God. And we all agree that God is holy, and we all agree that we're sinful, and that creates a separation that's killing us. It's killing us as a group, as a culture, as a society. It's killing us. And we yearn to get back into relationship with God. We see that as a positive end, and it is. It is. Here's the thing. The solution to our sin problem is not us, it's God. It's not us, it's God. I think there's three things that we need to get straight about how this gap between us and God is bridged in the new year. Number one, I want you to know it's really not about your works. Now, good works are good. Don't stop doing good works. Paul even talks about that. We're, you know, well, gee, if we're saved by grace, let's just throw our hands in the air and just, you know, sin all the time. No. I'll get to that a little bit more next week in the message. How do we live out this faith that we have? But Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 makes it very clear. We are saved by grace, and we are not saved by works. What are the works we usually do? This isn't in your notes, so you're going to have to write it down. And we wanted them on one screen, but now we've got them on separate screens, so it's all right. Some people want to say, you know, I was raised in a Christian home, so I'm a Christian by heritage. I've told all three of my children, my wife and I both have, that you gotta establish your own relationship with Jesus. Those children, all three of them, were in church literally the day after they were born, and they were raised in this church for the most part, Gracie completely. And just because you're a kid of the pastor, that doesn't mean that you're a kingdom kid. I think the cards are stacked in your favor, but still, they've all had to decide, am I going to let Jesus live my life or not? So one of the works we kind of count on is oh, well, you know, I was brought up in a Christian home. Good. Man, it beats the way I grew up. But that doesn't make you a kingdom kid. Number two, I will give up all my bad habits. That's salvation by subtraction. Oh, I know, I'm going to make myself good enough. I'll get rid of all my bad habits, and then God will love me more. No, he won't. You will feel and know God's love more, absolutely. Absolutely. But our good works, well, that's not enough to bridge the gap between us and God. They fall short as well. Third thing I think is sincerity. Oh, I'll work really hard to earn it. I'll earn it. I was raised in a tradition. It's all about earning it. And woe to you because, gee, you're sinning all the time. You're in a lot of trouble. You should feel very insecure about your relationship with God because, well, you're not working hard enough. And again, it's important to serve. The second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's all about service. But folks, it's number two. It's not number one. Number one is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then as your service to other people, as it comes out of that, then it comes out with an eternal perspective, and it comes out with power. Way more power than you got on your own, no matter how good you are. Next one, sincerity, I think. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe, just be sincere. How many of us here have been sincerely wrong in our lives? Okay, do I need to say more? All right, let's go to the next one. I'll be religious and I'll go to church. That's salvation by setting, S-E-T-T-I-N-G, and sitting, S-I-T-T-I-N-G. And don't misunderstand me. If you don't learn what it's all about to be in relationship with God and a church, that church is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And one of the things that pains me, and it pains Nathan, our whole staff, is there's a whole bunch of people that think the very last place, okay, I want to be with you, God, and if you're going to force me to do it, I'll go to church. I think we're still one of the best kept secrets in SQUIM. Most people don't realize that the best band in the whole North Peninsula is a church band. These dudes are awesome. Man, you came to the Christmas celebration. They know how to do it. They know how to lift us up. They know how to give glory to the Lord. They know how to give voice to our expressions of worship to God. And that's what their job description says. And they do it, and they do it very well. And as people come, hopefully they hear what we're just talking about today in a lot of different ways, from a lot of different perspectives. The bottom line is we're separated from God, and we can keep trying to bridge that gap from our side, and it's not surprising to me that doesn't work. It doesn't work. Why do I believe in the Bible? Because it describes my life so well. It describes the world that I'm living in so well. It defines the fact that no matter how good you try to be, that's not going to, as moral as you try, as service-oriented, they all fall short. Simply, it is about God's initiating a relationship with us. And as I said it, that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about God coming personally. When you follow who Jesus is and you follow him to the cross and resurrection, you'll know that he is very unique in religious spheres, conversation, doctrine. Nobody else resurrected. In fact, what was interesting is none of the other major world religions, their personality tied to them, did not say that they were God. The only one that said he was God was Jesus. Now, there are a few other people that think they're Jesus, but they're being tended to right now. Right? Hi, I'm Jesus. No, you're not. No, I'm really Jesus. It's not by works. You didn't initiate it. God initiated a love relationship with you. But God showed his great love for us by loving us first. We can only respond to him because he's bridged the gap. And man, it makes sense to me. I am a finite human being. I cannot bridge the gap to infinity. God is infinite. If he wants to choose to become finite and enter time and space, that's his choice. That's his privilege. And what we believe is that's exactly what happened in Jesus. That God entered time and space. That he made it very clear, I love you. Don't miss that. I love you. The third thing is, it wasn't an afterthought for God. You know, we sat in a philosophy class and we talked about the Garden of Eden. So if God is all-knowing, then didn't he know? Well, God predestined, so what? Just like all of us, God's love wants to expand, include. And God knew everything all at one time, yet that doesn't mean there aren't sequential things that happen in time and space. And the amazing thing to me is that given what's gone on, that God would still create us in his image, but he baffles me. Why did he let Judas be at the table of the Last Supper? See, it's the character and nature of God's love and his desire to forgive us. And that's not an afterthought. He didn't break the eggs and decide to make an omelet. Well, a lot of people believe that. No, Jesus was not an afterthought. God knew, and his knowledge informed his plan. You're not an afterthought. Salvation is not an afterthought. Now, that's everything I would have said if I had more time on Christmas Eve. It isn't about us doing things to make room for Jesus. It's just letting Jesus take up residency in our lives. And how do we do that? It's really not that hard. I told you I just sat in a Bible study, and yeah, I had questions, and those got answered. And, you know, here I was in a Bible study, and the youth pastor said, you know, if you want to let Jesus be the leader of your life, raise your hand. What I do when I raise my hand? Well, number one, I believe something. I believe that Jesus lived. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that he resurrected. In his resurrection, he promises me resurrection as one of his kingdom kids. What we need to do is accept him. And I think we try to gather up so much in our own human effort. Our arms are so full. It's full of philosophy, and it's full of religion. And by way, religion is defined as humanity's efforts to get to God. See, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship with God. And that's why it's not about us making room, it's about letting them move in. Don't worry, you let Jesus move in, ask Robert Munger. He'll go to every room in your house and he'll put it in order if you let him. The great thing about God is he'll even go to that closet in the basement that you've thrown everything into, and he will shine a light on that. And he'll clean it out. He'll get it all organized. He will make us whole. That's his goal. We're so full of our own human efforts and what we think and, you know, ethics and philosophy you know, it was fun to sit in those classes. Some people are full of theology. I'm pretty convinced that we could just sit around and talk about what we already know from the Bible, and that would give us a whole day's work. A whole day's work. Simply, we have to empty our hands, our agenda, and pick up God's kingdom agenda for us. We just have to accept Jesus into our life. Now, when that happens, we switch. We make a switch. Now my life is no longer all about me. It's all about God. And I'm like you, man, that is confusing. It's confusing. The confusion or the conflict or the rub or the angst of it all, it keeps me praying every day. That's why I like coming to worship. When Nathan leads and we're singing, I'm lining up my life. Oh, yeah, this was not good. That could have been better. Oh, that was just awful. Oh, look. There's something better to exchange, to switch to. And I don't have very many people that come into my office and say, you know, I became a Christian and I'm really sorry I ever did that. But man, I got a line of people that come in and say, you know, I know God's got better for me. I'm having trouble getting into the better zone, doing better. And again, it's not about doing as much as it is about being. See, the more we're with Christ, the more he can take up residency in our lives. And so we live out his plan more and more. And yeah, we're never going to be perfect. Trust me, I'm never going to be perfect till I die and go to heaven. Yet there's a great challenge in each and every day, a great yielding that needs to take place each and every day. Moments in a day where we have to decide, am I going to do God's plan or my plan? And when you, in a heartfelt way, raise your hand and ask him to be the leader of your life, you're saying, okay, your plan, not my plan. In the Lord's Prayer, it's his will and not our will. In fact, I love that part of the prayer. Hey, how many of us want what happens in heaven to happen in our lives? All of us. All of us. Well, that's what the switch is all about. And then I'm a big fan for expressing the fact that you've done that. In Romans, Paul says that if we confess that Jesus is Lord, we are truly saved. It doesn't save you, but it proves that you're saved. The most important thing is that we express that to God. And then I think it's good to go express it to a few other people. Let them in on the fun and the reality that, hey, I've changed my eternal destination today. I was going to hell. Now I'm going to heaven. And remember what we said in the definition of salvation is that our eternal trajectory is changed in that moment. We're not on the same path. We're not under the same plan. We're not under the same guidance even. Instead of our big ego, got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you still got an ego. You're still who you are. How many of us, as we make our way to the end of the year, get to the beginning of the year and say, you know, I want to be a better person in this way? We're not a better person in a certain way many times because we don't have enough power to do that. It's beyond therapy. See, we have a divine power that takes up residency in us. And as God calls us, we can respond. As we understand more, we're able to walk that way under his power. I believe that it's pretty easy for us to understand the good news of the gospel. Why? Because it's really simple. We're here, God's over there. We can't get to God, he's got to get to us. What does he ask you to do that would be so bad for you? Probably get rid of a few bad habits that you're having trouble getting rid of. Wake up in the morning and have a better attitude. The hardest thing I face in SQUIM and the greater SQUIM area is I have to tell people who are 60, 70, 80-year-olds with PhDs, you've been thinking wrong all this time. And that's why it takes some humility to believe, to accept, to shift, to express. I believe if I don't tell you about heaven, I'm telling you to go to hell. And honestly, even if I don't like you very much, man, I don't want you to go to hell. I don't really want my neighbors to go to hell. I don't want the people I hang out with to go to hell. Truly, the more I've learned about hell, I don't want anybody to go there. And simply God's agenda is to seek and to save the lost. And I'd ask you today, are you in or are you out when it comes to that? Are you in God's kingdom agenda? I hope you are. I hope you personally are. I hope that you too will add in as we seek to what? Carry out the Great Commission. By encouraging unchurched people and de-churched people to join us as we become fully devoted followers of Christ. And that's not only for our lifetime, that is for all eternity. Let us pray. Lord, I'm thankful that you have not kept your agenda to yourself. I'm glad that you came personally. I'm glad you declared your agenda in a way that we can understand it and respond to it. Lord, for those that haven't done it before, I pray in this moment that they'll ask you to be the leader of their life. That they'll understand it's not about their bad works or their good works. That it's a free gift that you give us, that there's no greater state to live in than a forgiven state when it comes to our relationship with you. And we want to thank you that now our eternal destination has changed. Lord, as much as we can, expand us in our understanding, Lord, expand us in our obedience and discipleship to you. And so we pray these things in your name. Amen.